Now, anybody have any thoughts on what we studied last night about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I was just thinking about worship. It was like part of the part of the whole thing is
abandoned worship.
Yeah, being and knowing that that's all you're doing.
Yeah,
you're not doing anything else, and that's part of important what the stuff you're talking about. Happen.
Gary? What you said you hadn't spoken in tongues for a long time. What why not?
You know, it's just not there. It's almost like I've thought about it and I kind of try a couple times, but it doesn't flow.
Speaking in tongues, praying in tongues.
Well, the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit.
And the baptism, that's... and whatever thoughts I've had are on the greater concept of what that is. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit means you are engulfed, enveloped, and swimming in it.
Well, there's three aspects of baptism. It says there's one baptism, one faith, one body. But the scriptures discuss three baptisms. The baptism of repentance, which is the baptism of John the Baptist. Then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then the baptism of fire. All three are furtherance of death. And you as Adam, as Son of Man. Final one, obviously, is the baptism of fire. But that's the baptism of fire doesn't happen except for the chosen. He gives us the chance with the baptism of repentance and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if those two baptisms, I believe that's narrowing the way more and more and more and more until the baptism of fire. There's absolutely nothing of you that can go through the baptism of fire. The baptism of water, you can have the appearance of having been baptized, but you're still living as a Gentile. The baptism of the Holy Spirit furthers the death, if you will, so that there is no place for you any longer. And so the baptism of fire then is really grace, because it burns away, after we pray, any spots on the garment by the flesh, so that your only essence, your only righteousness, your only life is Jesus Christ himself. There is none of you. But each one of those three baptisms appoint that. And so it's a big deal. It's really important.
Isn't there another baptism?
Well, that was just because the Jews had been baptized in the name of the Father and the Spirit. So the Jews that were baptized only needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus. They'd already been baptized in the name of the Father and the Spirit.
But we do that too, or we have done that.
Do what?
Baptize in the name of Jesus.
No, we've always baptized in the name of the three. Baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as far as I know.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Well, the three are just the certification. The first baptism is the New Testament, where either the baptism of the Father, Son, and Spirit, or the baptism of just Jesus. The baptism of just Jesus was for the Jews that had already been baptized into the Father and the Spirit. Amen?
Where does it talk about the fire? I remember it was Jesus talked about it, right? Or something.
Well, it talks about... Let's go to Matthew 3, John the Baptist talked about it.
Fire.
Well, let's just start in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Jordan, and saying, Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem on all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized with him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit, meat, or necessary for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to of these stones raise up children unto Abraham. And now also that the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So that's, it's talked about in several places, but that's the first one.
Yeah, so the fire is like that threshing floor idea where the chaff's burned up.
Yeah.
It's part of the process.
But it takes...
But that could be talking about the same thing, right? They're all happening at once.
No, they don't happen.
The Holy Ghost.
But the baptism of repentance and the Holy Ghost can happen at once. But the baptism of fire is something that we haven't experienced yet.
It just looks like that's what he's talking about.
I know, but it says elsewhere that you indeed shall be baptized. We want to follow you. And
that's what I was asking. That's the one I was wondering.
Yeah, well, it's the same one that's spoken of here, but he's doing it later, the baptism of fire. That's when we have to pass through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see. Anybody else? In Acts it says that Paul, one of them, was in Corinth, I believe. And they said, Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, We know not of such baptism. And then they were instantly baptized with the Holy Spirit there. All right, well, let's go back to Luke then. Luke 18. We're studying the word unjust as applied to the, let's see what it says, the unjust judge. But the one we're studying is in verse 6. And the Lord said, this is about this unjust pagan judge was an example of God and regarding the unjust. And he said, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, again, unjust is the word adikia, and it means workers of iniquity. Studied in Daniel when we last met that this is the prophecy of Daniel. Since everybody wasn't here, let's go there. Daniel 9 again. We go there so often, everybody's Bible should turn there automatically. You have a bookmark?
I have a little sitting up there.
I thought you were talking about your computer. All right, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, to anoint the most holy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, the three things that are concerned with repentance, well, there are sin. Well, first of all, it's iniquity, sin, and trespass. Iniquity is the fruit of the fall. That's self-awareness, self-seeking. Sin is then who you are. You don't do sin, you are sin. And then trespass is the things you do. Everybody clear on this? So iniquity here, calling him a worker of iniquity or the unjust, is one that's consumed with self-seeking. Iniquity.
What is the difference between iniquity and enmity?
What?
What is the difference between iniquity and enmity?
Amnesty?
Enmity.
Enmity. Well, enmity is just another word for hate. So back to Luke. I mean, it's worth back to the unjust. Let's go to Romans 9. Here it's translated unrighteous, but it's sadika, like adikia.
What verse?
We're going to start in verse 11. And when it's talking about what it will intend. And not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there any unrighteousness with God? God forbid. And the word unrighteousness with God there is adikia. Now, this thing about Esau, I mean, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, is critical to our understanding. Because that was the they were twins. Jacob stole the birthright. Esau was firstborn. But you, just as you are firstborn as a type of Esau, Jacob is the type of Christ, or you after the Spirit. And so Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You may not like this, but God hates you. He loves Christ in you. Everybody get that one? Because all that Esau is capable of is iniquity. Self-seeking. That's all he does. No matter how, he can do it in the name of 15 different gods. He can put his God's name on everything he does. He's still a worker of iniquity. Amen.
Amen. This is like the guy, well, he's saying, is there unrighteousness with God? Like an unjust judge making some kind of decision based on nothing because they had never done anything.
Amen.
And that's it's almost like the same kind of deal here in justice.
All right, let's go back to Luke. Luke 13. Now we're still studying this word iniquity that's translated unrighteous. 13. Luke 13, verse 13. Well, that's that one. We don't come to there. Let's go to we're just about done with iniquity here, but let's go to John 7. I'd have to spend all day on Luke 13, I don't feel like. John chapter 7. This is where this whole chapter is about, where his teaching is causing division within the Jews and within families. And so, let's start in verse 6. And Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go you up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet come. My time is not yet fully come. And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast, and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man, and others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of or from himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. No unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Well, anyway, we could go on. Well, we're going to go through verse 18. So that's enough. The word unrighteous in verse 18 is the one we're studying, adika. Saying if you seek, he that speaketh from himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. No iniquity is in him. Now, he was born both son of man. So as son of man, his first 30 years, it was iniquity because he was a son of man. He was self-seeking, self-aware. He came to the end of it. He saw the futility of it and the emptiness of it, and he was baptized. And he was baptized into his death. The same has to happen in us. We have to go through the same issue, except we don't have to go down to hell, but we have to see our complete and total death. Now, what about you is died? Your mind. If you continue to use your mind, then baptism hasn't fully, you may have gotten your foot wet, but you haven't been buried in baptism. I know that, I mean, this sounds crazy, but it's what the entire Bible teaches. All right, let's go to a couple more. Let's go to Acts 1. It says when they selected Matthias as the 12th apostle, and then nobody ever heard of him again. So I think that really Paul was the 12th apostle, but that's another story. It doesn't matter. In verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of his disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Judas was the worker of iniquity. No matter what he did, no matter how many times he was baptized, no matter how close he was to Jesus, he was the worker of iniquity. Why did Judas betray him? Because he did not believe that the disciples should be one like Jesus. He was associated with the zealots who thought Messiah's purpose in coming was to have a regime change. It was political and military. But that's the reason every one of us reject him, because he isn't what we think he should be. We have our own definition of who he is in us. There is no private interpretation of Scripture. All right, let's go to Acts 8. This is where they're preaching the gospel in Samaria. Let's just read this. This is interesting. Well, we got time. Start in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, remember, Samaria was the most hated of all places by the Jews. Why? Because they had built their own temple, and they celebrated the feasts just like the Jews in Jerusalem did, but they were doing it with the wrong heart. And remember, they couldn't even set foot in Samaria. So anyway, in verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsies, and those and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man, this Simon, is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Christ, of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, But when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now he'd become a believer, he was baptized. He offered the disciples money, saying, "Give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands on may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Because thy money perish with thee, thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, though thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for that thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Now, in verse 18, one of those words there, but I can't remember which one. I wanted to study that for another reason. The point was, he would have been a great evangelist today.
That's wild. It's so soon after, you know, Pentecost and everything, the idea comes, hey, let's use this.
Yeah.
Let's buy it.
One of those verses has the word in it, adikia, but I can't remember which one, and I don't have it written down right, so forgive me. But you can tell it's not just, it's the story itself, which is adikia, which is iniquity.
Simon's in there somewhere.
But anyway, any response to anything we said this morning? We'll go on.
Well, earlier you said, you know, the stuff about Jesus in his early years and iniquity, and how can he be without sin? You've got the iniquity.
Because his being that's without sin that's shared with the masses is after his baptism, when as the iniquity died, and so he lived as Son of Man.
I don't know you've ever said that before.
I've always believed it. I may have not said it.
Check it out.
Well, he had to. Otherwise, we couldn't have had it. He had to go through everything we did. That's why he's both Son of God and Son of Man.
But, yeah, but it does say without sin. So somewhere we merge those two ideas.
Well, I thought I'd said the same thing for 40 years, but maybe not.
I think maybe you just never said it that way.
All right. But if he was without sin his whole life, then he would just be a role model for us.
Well, yeah, but in order to say that, we got to make sure it doesn't conflict with the fact that he's without sin.
Well,
so there's probably a way.
All right, I can do it, but I don't feel like doing it now. Gary, you look troubled.
Not necessarily.
That's what a body is. That's what a Seder is.
It's the body of Christ.
It's operating in those arenas. And the fruit of that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, not losing awareness of self, laying down your life, the other person is more important than you, or all of those things.
Yeah.
That's how it's seen. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit produces. Well, they're visible because it's seen as a, and that's why it says many will come to them, to you, because of your how you live, because of curiosity concerning how you live. Well, not those exact words, but that's what it says.
Yeah.
But there's a physical manifestation of it. But that physical manifestation can't happen without your death. Otherwise, you're just a bunch of individuals running around doing stuff. Maybe the screw-ups of your life and everything is wrong, you've been drawn here. But you've got to see your death in order for it to be a true Seder. So there is seen by the senses the fruit of that. It's seen more by the Gentiles that visit the Seder than it is by the people that are in the Seder.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the idea of speaking in tongues is great, and yet the reality of this baptism of spirit is so far-reaching.
Well, that's why, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 12, we read it last night, but let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual, the word gift isn't in there. Concerning spiritual matters is what he's saying. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Amen. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. You were led by your mind, carried away unto dumb idols. Traditions of your parents, what is good, what is nice behavior, everything. What you see, the thing that you invented was yourself. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So these are all spiritual matters now that he's discussing. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, the outward look, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So there's tongues, in terms of how tongues and its interpretation, is the last two of the 11 gifts. But that doesn't, I mean, it doesn't mean you can say, well, that happened. That was for the first century and all the other things we've heard all our lives. Or that, you know, that looks like snake handlers, or that looks like prosperity gospel. Or you can't pay any attention to what anybody else has done with it. We've got to be true to the baptism in us. And then it's checked and tested by what the scriptures say. That's the only test we have. We can't model us after somebody else. Now, all these gifts have operated, I don't know that they are right now, but they have operated in this body. I'm going to go ahead. But I'll read the next part quick. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where the body? Where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given a more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And this is a powerful saying, to recognize in everything that happened to you from all your genetic history, going back to the beginning, had to be exactly as it is for you to have been formed into that essence of a cell that's going to fit into this body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And so God has wrought all your works in you. But now it's time for repentance. So that this mystery is manifest, openly seen. Amen?
Yeah. Gone over your time.
All right, take a big breath.